Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we return to Colossians chapter 3 and to Paul's warning about two major sinful pitfalls, a couple of the sand traps, or maybe we would say quicksand pits that trap so many of God's people, get them off the path of serving God on the narrow way of pleasing the Lord with their lives and demonstrating the grace of salvation in a changed life, but stumble and fall into sin. And there are so many different sins we can fall into. And Paul's going to name a lot of them before this chapter's over. This is one of those chapters that has several lists a couple of lists of sins and one list of virtues that Christians are to display in our lives. But Paul begins with the two big ones, namely lust and greed, sex and money, women and finances. And those are the two areas that trip up probably more of God's people than anything else. We have real problems in the area of sexual impurity, and we have real problems in the area of materialism, particularly greed, covetousness, that drives us to dishonesty and to a misappropriation of funds in one way or another. And so we need to understand what these are and battle them, put them to death in our lives, as Paul tells us to do. So we'll work on that a little bit more on this Thursday, September 15, and we do so because we have radio listeners like you who value this broadcast enough to help us with the finances necessary to keep it on this station. Here's the text, Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, I say Paul is dealing with two things here, but the first one he breaks down into four specific categories, you might say, or he uses four different words to describe every possible aspect of sexual impurity. He doesn't just say sex and money. He spells out sexual sins with enough specificity, specific enough, that there really isn't any wiggle room to find an area where you can claim that though you are involved in some kind of sexual impurity, that you're really not violating the will of God. He nails it down, and he gives us four different words to describe sexual impurity: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. And then, having given those four, he moves on to the second one, the area of covetousness, which he tells us is idolatry. And as I say, those are the biggies. There are plenty others, but those are the biggies. And they trip up more people than anything else, so we had better give careful attention to the Word of God in these areas. Now, back to this list of four sexual sins, which move from actions to thoughts to motives. This is not four different categories of illicit sexual activity. That's not what it is, actually. It is actions, moving to thoughts that produce the actions, moving to motives that produce the thoughts that produce the actions. So he really covers it from A to Z. And here we go again. The first word is fornication. And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, that's in the Bible, is a broad word that covers any illicit sexual activity. Unlike the way we normally use fornication now to mean specifically premarital sex. Unmarried people involved in sexual activity we usually call fornication. Married people involved in sexual activity we call adultery. Well, we're using the word adultery the way it's used in the Bible, but we're not using the word fornication the way it's used in the Bible. In the Bible, fornication is the big term that covers everything, and then adultery is one area of fornication. Homosexual conduct would be another area of fornication, which could also technically be adultery as well, and so forth. But Paul starts with the big one that covers everything, the blanket term that covers any illicit sex, which, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, means any sexual activity outside of marriage. That's it. It's as simple as it can be. In this sinful world in which we live, in which there is so much sex and so many twists and turns and questions and problems and situations that are raised, it's gotten to the place where even many of the people of God are shaking their heads and having a hard time trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. And many, even of God's people, or at least people who profess to be the people of God, seem to be susceptible to the concept that God's standard of morality has changed. Yes, in the old-fashioned days, we held to the standard that sexual activity ought to be reserved for marriage, but times have changed, and that's no longer necessary because, and here's how a lot of people determine this, because we have a lot of Christians who are agreed that there are some forms of sexual activity outside of marriage which are legitimate. Well, excuse me, when did we determine God's standards by majority vote? That's never been the way that we determine what is right and what is wrong. It's always determined by the revelation of God, His Word, the Bible. And the Bible makes it very clear that within marriage, sexual activity is good, it's righteous, it's wholesome, it's God-pleasing, it is exactly what God intended for the marriage bond. There's a lot more to marriage than that, but this is an important component of marriage. It ought to be practiced with joy and thanksgiving and with a sense of God's approval in marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled in the eyes of God. But, as that text goes on to say, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And fornication, as it's used in the Bible, that word, means any sexual activity outside of marriage. All sexual activity outside of marriage is considered to be illicit sex. It is fornication. And fornicators, God will judge. And adulterers, which is a specialized category of fornication, God will judge. But what's the next word? Uncleanness. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness. And uncleanness is even a broader word than fornication. You might have thought that he would start with fornication, the big umbrella term, and then start narrowing it down to more specific categories under that big umbrella, but actually Paul turns it around, and his second word is even broader than fornication. And I thought you said, I can hear some of you saying, I thought you said fornication was the big word. That was the big broad term, and there were then other words under it that were smaller. That's true. But that's not the way Paul goes. He goes in a different direction, and uncleanness includes more than fornication. It's a word that means general impurity, not only in deed, but also in thought or in word. It includes lascivious speech, and it includes impure thoughts. Uh-oh. But that's what's included in this word uncleanness. Some of you have given yourself permission to indulge in impure thoughts. Some of you are participants in, you are customers of, whether you're paying for it or it's free, pornography, which is so readily available everywhere. You can't, in fact, you have to fight real hard to stay away from it. If you use a computer at all, you realize that a lot of times you're only one or two clicks away from pornography, and it's not unusual to inadvertently move in that direction. You click on something that looks innocent and it proves not to be. It is a dangerous world out there if you are serious about serving Jesus Christ and maintaining moral purity. And because it is so readily available, there are a lot of people that just have given themselves permission to stray in their thoughts and have convinced themselves that that's not sin. Sin is actual sex with another person. But thoughts are not sin. That's just, everybody does that, and that's perfectly innocent, and there's nothing wrong with that. Well, then why did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it has been said of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. That certainly would include pornography, because that's exactly what you're doing. You are looking at a woman, or in some cases, men, but you are looking at them for what purpose? For the purpose of mentally involving yourself in sex. You're not doing it physically, but you're doing it mentally. And sometimes, of course, that's a precursor to physical activity that is illicit. But whether it ever leads to that or not, whether it is intended to lead to that or not, it is of itself uncleanness. That's the word that is used here, and that's included in it. Impurity in thought, word, or deed, including dirty speech and dirty thoughts. Hopefully, I'm not talking to Christians who are in the practice of using sexual innuendos in your speech, but probably some are. Again, that's pretty common in our day. I'm appalled at how often the F word is used in some television programs today, that you can't listen to them. You can't watch them, because they're so defiling. People that just and you've got people like that around you in the workplace, that it seems like about every 10th word out of their mouth is the F word. It's just so common to them. But that is lascivious speech. And, of course, it gets worse than that with the off-color jokes and innuendos and so forth. And that's all included in this word uncleanness. And Christians are told to put that to death in our lives. Therefore, put to death in your members, whether we're talking about your brain or your hands or whatever, put to death in your members, which are on the earth, fornication and uncleanness. May God help us to do so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.